This is WHFR Dearborn. It's time now for our public affairs show, the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views. Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of WHFR's The New Journal. I'm Dennis Reimers in for Jay Kornick, and I'm here today with Ned Apigian and Amy Powers. And I want to make sure that all these mics are working. Say something for me.
Hello there. Well, hello there, Ned. Good to see you.
Yeah, they're working.
Are we sounding?
Oh, we are.
Sounding good?
We're
all
good.
Right.
Good, okay.
That's a good first start.
That is a heck of a first start. And as I said, Jay is not here today. You guys know that, right?
He's not here.
I'm not just a pretty face. I am, in fact, sitting in his chair, and I get to move it, and I'm kind of personalizing it. So remind me to move it back to his original adjustment. We have, I want to say, a lot to talk about today, but I want to start out with a reminder that the opinions expressed here are not the opinions of HFCC or its members, faculty, staff, or students. In other words, what we say is basically our own opinion. Now, we are not told what to say, and I think that's a really great thing, and I think that gives us an opportunity to talk about some issues, that the things that we think people want to know. I want to question one of the things I wanted to go to almost immediately, actually right now. Are you too familiar with the Dearborn Virtual Academy?
We're going to find out.
Yeah, because, well, let me ask you a question, and I know that Amy and I had talked about this earlier. Let me give you a real quick scenario. A young gentleman, 14 years old, Dearborn High School student, early in the year, events surrounding it for our conversation are relevant, but he gets caught with having a knife. All right. He has a knife on his person. And because of the zero tolerance, he is expelled from school for a year. He's no longer at Dearborn High School. And at that time, during that time, he has what's called homebound, where he has a teacher, a liaison between the actual school and his home. Comes to the home twice a week, brings work for him, takes it back, what have you, okay? Basically, make sure he's doing his stuff to the degree that she can for a solid year. He goes back to school. You follow me?
Yes.
He goes back to school. After that year, does get reinstated, and something else happens. Nothing, again, it's for our conversation, it's irrelevant, and it wasn't nearly as big a deal as having the knife, but the reality is that it becomes very apparent that he is, he's not ready socially or academically for school.
He's struggling.
Socially, fitting in, whatever. So at this point in time, instead of the homebound program, which is very limiting, I have to tell you, my daughter was part of it because of an illness. And she had the liaison come twice a week to our house. And as hard as you try, you're still behind. You really are. So he goes to what's called the Dearborn Virtual Academy. The gentleman that we were talking about first. He goes to the Dearborn Virtual Academy. He's there, I think, 4 days a week, and most of it's online. And this all happened a few years ago, okay? And there's a point to this, so please bear with me. He goes to the academy. He's there. He pretty much made his own schedule. I was going to say a few hours a day. Some days he went.
And is that allowed? Make your own schedule?
To a degree, it is.
Okay.
Actually, yes. Yeah, so he wasn't breaking any rules. In fact, when I had an opportunity to actually take him to school, I said, you're really running late. He goes, it's okay. They don't mind. A lot of it is online. There were teachers there physically in the building at the same time. They're more for guidance as opposed to what we would consider a conventional or traditional role for a teacher. Now, he's 19. He didn't pass enough of the curriculum for, to get his diploma. He's already 19, so he's already behind the eight ball in that regard. And my question to you is, do you feel that particular structure or lack of helped him or hurt him? I think the answer is obvious, but I kind of want to get your opinion.
I think initially, and I know that this example isn't the example of every student that attends the virtual academy, but I think...
Well, if I can interrupt you?
Yes.
Actually, it's very close.
Okay.
I think that we're looking at students that were originally there. Now, and let's say prior to this current year, okay, which recently started before that, because they made these huge changes. And this is the story that's actually in the Press and Guide that brought this whole conversation up. There's a story about the massive changes they had. And as a parent, I have two children, and I knew the young gentleman very, very well. And I looked at and again, maybe this is just because of my traditional upbringing where, you know, I went to school and I actually looked forward to it, which is kind of weird, I know, but I did, still do. And I looked at the situation and I was like, well, man, you have a lot of flexibility. Yeah, you know, they give us an opportunity. And I didn't hear what he said, but in my mind, all I heard was they gave me enough rope to hang myself.
Boy, I think that's really it. I mean, some of these decisions shouldn't be left to teens who are, you know, they look into the future as far as what's happening next weekend. I think structure is pivotal, and especially in the high school setting.
That's such an impressionable age, isn't it? I mean,
oh, it is.
And I think that the I read in a book called Freakonomics that the actual influence by parents, family members at that point is far less than we'd all think. And it's mostly the influence comes from peers and authority figures in the school, which would be teachers and administrators.
I say don't underestimate the power of influence by family, by siblings. I think that's huge in teen years.
And it should be. Yeah. It isn't always the case, though.
Yeah. You know? They are spending more time at school. They're spending time at school. You know, in a lot of cases, maybe limited, but, you know, school, homework, it's longer than a full-time job. And if that's the majority, school, homework, maybe a sport, maybe something outside of that, you're way over 40 hours a week.
Oh, so, you're not kidding.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I can see that, you know, maybe parents aren't, you know, the 24/7 influence, but parents are pivotal in making sure our kids, are you doing your homework? What have you got today? What's going on? Just that sort of, I'm tuned into what's going on today, and I know what you need to be doing is important. And it sounds like that is lacking in the virtual schools. If there's so much flexibility, like say, enough rope to hang yourself, I don't think it's a program that works.
Can we say nice try? Nice try, because they made the changes. And I guess that's the whole point, is that they actually made changes. They talked to people. Here's the magic number, Amy. You ready for this? The number of children that graduated based on this program, they went to this program, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, the percentage is 27%. That's 1 in 4 graduate.
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
And kudos to the school for realizing that. You know, this program is not old. This hasn't been around for very long.
Yeah, I think, what, 2002?
Yeah, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe, was it 2002? 2000. Okay, 2002. And yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. And so, I mean, it was like, nice try. We thought we were doing something. I think that for me, if you put somebody like me, I got really good grades in school. I really did in high school, and I enjoyed it. I was like,
good for you.
Yeah. Happy dance here. No, but I mean, the reality is I really looked for, my father was an educator. I mean, it wasn't like I had an option. You know, my dad taught high school and he was an assistant principal, so I didn't have a choice, but I really enjoyed school. I did the things you're talking about, the sports and the, you know, I didn't sing or wasn't in plays, but I did lights and sound and things like that. I was gone all the time. And I remember being gone. The irony, I was at some point, I was gone for like a month. I was gone like most of the time. My mom's like, don't you have any video games to play? I mean, you know, that's the exact opposite of what we want to tell our kids.
Yeah, and part of the lax structure was incorporated into this academy. And
intentionally.
Intentionally, and it reminds me of one of my friend's fathers grown up said, everybody, all of his kids are going to be involved in a sport, not because he had great dreams for professional sports, but it keeps them occupied.
Absolutely.
Kids need a direction and just to be occupied with other things, so they're not left to their own devices. And it sounds like this school leaves them to their own devices quite a bit.
Oh, completely.
Well, in life, there are always new challenges. This looks like a program based on your definition that is, according to you, a failure. If only 25% of the people graduate,
27%. Don't exaggerate.
Well,
man.
About a quarter of the people, any way you look at it.
Sure.
And if you pay attention to the news lately, they just cut a chunk of money out of the Dearborn school's budget.
Mm-hmm. More.
And then after they cut the initial cut, so some programs are going to be cut. This looks like it's one that unfortunately probably will be cut. There are ways to help people that need help, and more on a voluntary basis. Maybe retired school teachers volunteer with people that have problems. But you can't solve every problem in the world. It's not an ideal world, and there's going to be some people that there's no challenges for. Unfortunately, in our system, which is unlike most of the European systems, where they have tests, they call it usually 11+. At 11 years old, they test you. If they had tested me at 11 years old, I would have been put on the line towards something other than what I turned out to be.
Is that better or worse?
There are some advantages, and nothing is perfect, but they single out people, and they decide you're going to be a plumber, a carpenter, and a waiter, and they actually train people to be waiters, airline stewardesses, whereas we have this false system where everybody's on this pre-college program, which most people are not suited for. And then if you don't make it, it doesn't work right for us. Your father has to be in the union to get in the right training program. This is one of the things that we're trying to solve every problem imaginable. That European system has great advantages. This is not the time to talk about it, but the disadvantage is you get shunted off. I have a friend of mine that came from France, and I said, Roger, how'd you become a plumber? And he says, when I went to school, they taught me plumbing. Same thing in Germany, but if you're academically sophisticated, then they train you. There's high schools for people like that.
What you're saying is it's on a more individual basis.
They evaluate people young, and it's hard to get out of that track. Our educational system is very shallow and kind of wide.
Well, let me ask you.
Theirs is deep, kind of narrow and deep.
Yeah, my sister been teaching schools in Livonia forever. She says that the normal way of doing things is to target the middle as far as ability level. Middle. So say you have, I know she's an elementary school teacher. Say you have 25 kids in a class. Let's say 24 for the sake, and you have 8 that are on the high end as far as learn maybe more quickly, better learning retention, things like that. Then you have the bottom 8, and then the ones in the middle. They target the middle 8 and hope that the ones, the lower 8 will catch up and the other ones will wait.
Right. Now you see what they're doing is they don't do that in Europe. They separate people.
More personalized.
They take the people that don't look like they have much future in academic skills, and they train them to be bus drivers, airline stewardesses, and what have you.
That's quite a call at age 11.
Yeah, it is.
Age 11 or 12.
Exactly.
The maturity level is not there, probably, you know. For a lot of people, you come into your own in your late teens and in 20s, like maybe even in college.
I've changed how many times, and I'm over 18.
It's the night school route, just like we have here at Henry Ford. You'll learn to become something else.
Yeah,
I had never planned to go to college.
You reinvented yourself after a certain point, though.
No, when somebody asked me, do you want to go to school? I've had enough of this. I need to make money. But so there are accidents that happen. In my case, I came out of the service at a certain age. There was a recession like there was now. There really wasn't any work. So anyway, we have differences in our system. This is an over-liberal program that's based on its non-success. There has to be a more charitable approach to things like this, actually. You can't make it part of the school program because there's not going to be the money for this. This will be cut.
But they had no way of knowing. I think that's my whole point, is that they're looking at it now, 7 years later. It took them 6 years to figure it out, but they're finally talking to the students themselves. Can I see that?
Why does it take 6 years or 7 years to figure out that kids aren't graduating?
Well, we didn't read some of the points. This program is in 2002.
It started in the fall of 2002. I give you the little bio that I gave you of this young gentleman is Maybe not exactly like the other kids. And there's not very, there weren't very many kids in the program. This is something that's been growing and evolving. And there weren't many, there weren't, I'm not going to say they were exactly like this young gentleman.
Sure.
At the same time, they all had their issues, be it a slow learning ability or socially or whatever. There were certain
individual challenges.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. There was challenges in the way. And they called it, this is my favorite, this is much more one-on-one, like a one-on-one small community for kids. And it really was. I mean, and I know, Ned, I know exactly what you're saying, but if you look at it on paper, it really made a lot of sense. Let's give these kids their, we're here to guide them, we're going to let them make their decisions within the classroom, keeping up.
Isn't that funny? Because I think obviously these are kids that have a difficult time making good decisions.
Well, let's get to a topic that relates to this in a second way. State cuts Dearborn Public Schools even more.
Yeah, I was putting it off, but you're right. Yes, this is important.
let our listeners, who, if they haven't read it, Governor Granholm on Monday vetoed a special funding category that gives Dearborn Public School about $5 million a year. The slash brings to $9.5 million in the total amount the district still needs to cut from this year's budget, said David Mostyn, Dearborn's communications coordinator. And we are a quarter of the way into the school year, he said. The governor vetoed Section 20J funding the category was established more than a decade ago to help districts that were not getting the same per pupil funding, which increases as it does for other schools. Now, without reading the whole article, you got the gist of the problem. well, you know what that means?
Well, you talked about the 20J.
Yeah, what either it means you got to find money someplace where there isn't any to find, or they're going to increase your taxes, which nobody's going to go for, or something's going to be cut in the school program. And this program that you just got through talking about is why, because I'm looking at this headline as you were talking about it.
Right, you made the parallel, sure.
Yeah, is definitely not in the works for the future, or at least the near future. That's something that... this is reality. This is not touchy-feely, you know. This is no kumbaya singing.
At the same time, the very thing that you were talking about, that it sounded like you were more of the European style of teaching.
Well, it's another issue, but...
Well, regardless, it seems like the virtual academy is more along the lines of what you're talking about, where it is more attention. I think they had the wrong kids pegged for the program, I guess is what I was saying. And when you were talking about that potentially being a cut, on the surface, it seems like a no-brainer. Yeah, you cut stuff like that. We have too many kids in the traditional schools that need help, and we're not going to, you know.
The article didn't give the percentage of people involved. Did I read 50 students in the program?
Originally, there were 50. They've enlarged that considerably.
So what? What would it be now?
I'm going to say they at least five times that.
Okay, so 250 out of 5,000 students. What's the percentage?
Very low.
Very low.
Extremely low.
It would be cut. If I was dictator, that would be a cut.
You would. And for me, if I was dictator, I would look at the changes they made, and I'd say no. I'd say it wouldn't be cut because, remember, this all takes place at our satellite campus. Over
Dearborn Heights.
Thank you. On what is that? Ann Arbor Trail and Warren, and
Dearborn Heights campus.
But it's all part of the Michael Berry Center. Is all there? And I've been inside. I've walked around. It's a really beautiful. It's a great thing they have there. And I kept thinking as I'm walking around and I see these so few kids.
You want to see something that's interesting in this discussion? It's in the newspaper. Dearborn, a top community for music education.
Absolutely.
Since we're talking about music.
Please read that because that's a big deal to me.
Let's take a minute to talk about the music program and see what they say. Dearborn was again voted one of the 100 best communities for music education this year.
No, that's in the country, Ned. It doesn't say that anywhere, but I know that's in the country.
Oh, well.
That's a big deal. I mean, it's not like 100 best in...
It doesn't say 100 best communities for...
No, it's definitely in the country.
Well, it's not that I misread it. It's just not there.
No, you did not misread it.
The school district has earned the recognition 6 of the last 10 years, Lisa Myers told the Dearborn School Board. Myers is a music resource teacher in the district. Now, without going into too much detail about that, those of you that listen to the radio, you in television, I don't know if I've seen it on television, it is music programs that tend to be cut, right?
Sure, music arts.
Right. And then there's a great initiative in education, or presently, to preserve music programs, because the so-called training of musicians, and there's an interesting ad, is so much more helpful to the student's progress. They say if you're playing in the symphony, you can't be playing your violin or your cello 85% right, but you could be doing 85% on your math test and be doing very well.
There's an absolute correlation. You know, it's like learning another language. You're increasing that little part of your brain, the music, math.
In our discussion of problems with education and in this political season, as the decision will be for those people elected to office, and since we're spending a lot of our time with local office, and local officers have something, a lot to do with education, school boards in particular, and I know they can be influenced by city councils as well, even though they're supposed to be separate. You could see the problem. We went from one great plus for the city of Dearborn, and we began with something less than a plus, if not a minus, in this virtual academy. And we're at least almost halfway through the program. I think we best get to the subjects of the election and politicians and what they have to say on the
ballot. There's an election coming up?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Ask me.
Ask
anyway,
you.
Anyway, one in. Anyway, we unfortunately were not lucky enough to get one of our challengers for the council in Dearborn to show up this week.
Not this week, you're right.
But hopefully there are a couple more weeks left, right?
Right. Well, let's go over who we have talked to.
Well, going through my list, since we're only dealing with challengers,
not the incumbent.
Challengers need all the help they can get.
They do.
Incumbents are strugglers. So we have spoken to David Bazzi.
It was last week.
Last week, mm-hmm. Which I was not here. And we are going to talk about Patrick Ambrosio, at least I am, after we give you who we've spoken to. We've spoken to Sharon Dulmaj,
right,
who is a challenger, although a familiar name, since he's been on the Dearborn Board of Education for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, George Hart, who has been on city council and state rep and state senator and longer than most of the people listening are alive.
That's true. This is true.
Brian O'Donnell we heard from as a challenger.
Yeah, you had a chance to meet him.
Yes, a very impressive young man. Good thing he's not running against me.
Well.
And then Ali Syed, we've spoken
to. Good thing for him or for you?
No, for me.
Yeah, okay.
I hate people that are clever and smart.
Yeah.
It makes me look bad. It makes me look bad.
I know. I was hesitant to have Amy in here today.
Why?
She's going to make us both look bad.
Okay. Now, the people we haven't seen yet, which I want to talk about what they've said, because most of us are not readers. At least I'm not. Ever since I developed the problem with my, I have this nasty habit of closing my left eye as I'm reading.
As you're reading?
And it's very.
That doesn't sound good.
So you only
very
read.
Discouraging.
He only reads the right half of the word.
Oh, no,
right.
No, no.
Or half
wrong.
The article.
Hopefully
I just
it's a multi-syllable.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway. Since we're going to see Mr. Kieran has not been very good in answering our requests.
Oh,
wait.
But there's more.
Yes, I spoke with him, and he is tentatively scheduled for next Friday.
Good.
So
okay,
we're expecting
he's the one
him
we're going to see next Friday.
Yes.
Well, okay.
So we take that back.
We do.
So this is
sorry.
A little warm-up for him. So when you get ready.
Yeah.
We're
tough in here.
Right.
Oh, heck, Jay will be back, too.
Yeah, then
watch out.
Then he'll really have problems.
Yeah.
I'm just easy, that's all. The League of Women Voters took all the politicians and asked them to answer several questions. The questions may not be the most important questions.
You had to go through this too, didn't you?
Yeah. In fact, this week, Times Herald is asking all the candidates, whether you're an incumbent or not, to answer some of their questions as well. So be on the lookout for next week's question papers. You'll see their answers in the Times Herald. Anyway, this is what the very famous Patrick M. Kiernan has to say.
The very famous. Awesome.
Yeah, well, that Kiernan's restaurant, you know, that makes you famous.
Absolutely, it does. I see that name.
Maybe infamous, I'm not sure.
Good food, so, yeah.
Excuse me. 46 years old, lifelong resident of Dearborn, co-owner and vice president of Kiernan Steakhouse, served our country in the United States Marine Corps, Dearborn Public Schools graduate, member of the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce, the Elks and American Legion, proud father and grandfather. I have over 30 years experience dealing with the public. I believe that leadership skills that I learned as a Marine and my experience in operating my own business combined with good common sense makes me a great candidate for council. I take great part in being fair, honest, and loyal. A man of my word. Before I read the next section, any of you like to comment on that part of his statement?
I always like hearing common sense. That trumps a lot of things
that
for
does,
me.
That does. It sticks out. Yes. You know, and obviously...
Dennis, what do you think?
Well, I want to ask you now. So were you... The question was put to the candidates, and you know this process. You were part of it.
Well, if you notice, the English is a little choppy because you're limited to the number of the words, so you got to separate your articles and kind of...
Well, I guess that was my question. Is this something that you had an opportunity to write an answer, or was this taken from a verbal answer?
No, they're just asking you tell us something about yourself in 50 words or something.
And as you're standing in front of people and then they transcribe?
No. No. This is a written thing.
Oh, okay.
It's a written
question. That was my question. Okay.
So anyway, you get a pretty good clear idea about him.
Okay, that's what I think about it. I think it's very clear.
He's obviously, his big thing is he's been in his family business.
So he's steadily employed.
He's steadily employed. And you certainly have to have... I'm sure he inherited some of this. He didn't start that business.
He didn't. It's been around for a long time.
Yeah, not being 46 years old.
Right.
Anyway, the next question, they don't indicate. I'm sorry. They do read. They do list the question. The first question was, please provide biological information and explain why you are running for city council.
Biographical?
That's why he's giving you how old he is and he's married and he's a grandfather. They want to know.
You said,
that's what it says.
Biological information?
Biographical.
Oh. So just off the top of my head, I'm going to go out on a limb and say they might be different. The biological information might be different. Like,
and I
DNA
think that's really
sample.
Going too far.
Yeah, I don't think we have
any
right.
They don't want to know your blood type.
Exactly.
And I don't want to know.
It's not my business.
So anyway, I'm sorry, I should have read this first. But it makes no difference. Information.
Well, it's fine.
It's easy.
It makes a lot of difference to me.
And explain... No, I mean, it makes a difference. I didn't read the question first, and you wouldn't have had to ask that, and that was my mistake.
I know. We're having
Why are you running? You know, I'm smarter than the rest or something. You know, what relevant qualities and skills, experience would you bring to the position? So he answers the question very well. Next part of the question is, what are the top two or three priority issues facing the city of Dearborn? And what actions would you like to take to address if elected? Now, you try that in 50 words.
Right, and that's really the most important part of it.
Here's what he says. I suffered with one of these just the other day. I was up till 2 o'clock trying to get it to 50 words.
Really?
The number of foreclosed vacant homes and businesses are of great concern to me. It lowers our property values and the purchasing of these homes for rentals, I feel, doesn't help the situation. In other words, I'm sorry.
I'm going to interrupt you really quick because this goes along the lines of what I believe...
we were talking about last week.
Last week, where he said he feels that he has... Mr.
Bazzi
had no problem with people that rent properties that buy them and then rent them out, and then the people that rent from them.
Let's not confuse Mr. Bazzi with Mr. Kier.
Well, I just want to bring this up.
Let's just give him his due.
Oh, you're right.
Okay,
you're right. Absolutely.
Back.
Right. Yeah.
Now, if I wanted to comment on that, I'd say there's little or nothing much he could do about foreclosures of homes, too. So,
but you don't want to comment on it.
Well, I would like to at the end, but, I mean, let's not interrupt the process.
Okay.
We must encourage the selling of foreclosed homes to people who will own and occupy them. Then how is not here. Remember, the question is, what are you going to do? Two, maintain the physical responsibility of providing a balanced budget with the least inconvenience to taxpayers and city employees. Now, the problem with these kinds of questions is you see, what are you proposing? Do you hear a proposal here?
No, you're going to get general answers in 50 words.
Now, the problem, I mean, it's a nice answer.
Oh, absolutely.
But before we go on any further, now, since I just suffered through one of these myself, the Times Herald has sent out something similar like this and says, do not talk about platitudes and generalities, you know, popcorn, apple pie, and American flag. And try to get to the heart of what it is you think, what's a solution. So I tried to offer solution. You got to remember, 50 words is not easy to point out.
Absolutely not. I mean, you're talking about a bulleted list, really.
Yeah. And they even suggested use bullets. So I think if there's anything you guys would like to comment about what he said, you could hear it now. Patrick
M.
Kiernan.
I can't wait to hear
him
next
week.
Great. Yeah.
Amy, you're going to be here, right?
Yes.
Great.
I wouldn't miss it.
Good.
In fact,
maybe
never getting up.
I'm not going to be here next week.
You're not? But I'm sure you'll be listening. And you'll make notes of things
anyway,
you want to comment about.
He may be passing out coupons to the restaurant or something. Make sure you ask for one.
You want one for you?
Yeah, get me one.
Okay.
Anyway, I think... I hope we weren't too hard on Mr. Kiernan.
I don't think so at all.
We were evaluating this process, not so much him. They're asking him to let's go to our next one. It's the same question. Let me read the question. Please provide biographical information. Explain why you are running for city council.
It's biographical?
Right.
Oh, okay.
You don't believe me.
No, I do.
I guess here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pass this piece of paper to you, and I'm going to have you verify that. So I'm not.
I can verify. This is Dennis, and I can verify that it says biographical.
And not biological.
Not biological information. And I am beyond
cleaner.
Relieved.
It's like biography. Tell me about yourself.
Okay.
And why you're running, you know? What relevant qualities and skills do you bring to this? You know, I could read mine over here and you could see how well I did, you know? That would be part of the process, too. Anyway.
We'll do that after you.
Yeah, we'll do that after. I'm in the same book.
But this is, they're looking for things. They're not looking for honesty, integrity.
Well, you could say that about
yourself. Right, but that's so, I think that they're, what did Mr. D'Ambrosio have to say?
Okay, Patrick. D'Ambrosio, I am 40-year Dearborn resident engaged to Kitty Shushanian.
All right.
Well, that's interesting.
Well,
congratulations.
Well, and I believe she holds office. Office.
No, I don't know who Kitty is, but if it's the Shushanian that's the councilman, maybe it's his wife. I don't know. I have four children.
Hopefully it's not his wife.
Yeah.
I think we can assume it's not.
Oh.
Even though.
Not his wife.
I'm
talking about the.
He's engaged to her.
Yeah.
He's engaged to the councilman's daughter or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
That makes sense. Maybe we should
move on. He's bent on a scandal.
I don't know why he mentioned.
We'll save it for the society page.
Yeah, save that. Okay. I have four children who have graduated from Dearborn High Schools. I am past president of Dearborn Exchange Club, member of the Dearborn Divine Child, Dearborn Goodfellows, Italian-American Club, Friends of the Dearborn Animal Shelter, Boy Scouts, Optimists, and Elks. I have worked with the Senior Outreach Program for years. I am a small business owner, automotive supplier who works with the Big Three. I'm experienced in budget planning and contract negotiations. This will help when painful decisions need to be made in the best interests of the city. Okay, if that meets, what do you think? What relevant qualities, skills, it answers that. Experience, and you bring to the question.
That's his resume, really, and that's wonderful.
Yeah. Next question. What are the top two or three priority issues facing the city of Dearborn, and what actions would you take to address them? Imagine if you listed three and you had to point out actions. You can't do that in 50 words well.
How many did he point out?
We're going to read it.
Okay.
Balancing next year's budget, 2010-11. That took up two words. It wasn't
this word count thing.
It's a word count, baby. They cut you off. Let me tell you, they'll cut your sentence
really?
Off. Right off.
Okay.
They will not adjust it. They will not do anything. You'll look as foolish as all hell if you don't fix it yourself.
So if I were to put like the same word over and over and over and over again, that would look probably even more.
Well, I mean, if you don't make a complete sentence, they just let it stay, you know. Balancing next year's budget, 2010-11, will be challenging. Lower property values coupled with less state revenue sharing and rising costs of employee and retiree health benefits will require serious decisions about our city services and their costs. I have the experience, knowledge, and commitment to engage the tough questions that lie ahead and to meet the challenge head on. Foreclosures have become widespread. I've backed the city's efforts to purchase these homes for demolition. This helps keep neighborhood values from falling. More grant money is needed to continue this project so vandalism and looting don't become commonplace like other cities. Now, unfortunately, I don't think that answers the question like it should, but when you get him, you'll have to answer. Did you hear two or three and then solutions?
Well, go ahead.
So this is not it's hard to answer these.
Right. So, I mean, they all did very well, considering the limitations and the structure. One of the things I was going to say about the foreclosures.
Unless we read mine, and that wouldn't be fair.
That'll be a 205.
What's a 205?
Yeah, we'll hit that 205.
Oh, yeah.
Rough. The foreclosure, obviously, that's a big deal.
Everywhere. Everywhere.
And what do you think you could do about it?
Well, one of the things that was brought up last week was let's stop the outside investors from coming in. Let's stop the people that are not from the area, that are just purely investors. Stop them from coming in, or make it more difficult for them to come in and swoop up these.
How do you do that?
I didn't hear that.
You buy it yourself with your money.
Well,
and the question is, where's the money?
Well,
and there was also the question of the $10,000 in escrow that was needed to purchase these foreclosures. And I think that's something that the city of Dearborn is, if that's in place, that helps stop some of the renter. You know, the renters, the landlords.
The people
in.
That aren't owning and operating.
Yes,
or
exactly.
Owning and occupying, I'm sorry.
Yes.
From what I understand about the escrow, it's a percentage. It's a percentage of X percent, 100% plus of what the estimate of the work that needs to be done needs to be in escrow. And what that does is it means that the owner will in fact take care of that, and obviously in the fastest time possible, because that money's tied up and will not be given back until the property is approved as
right.
Being
as, yeah,
up
certificate
to code.
Of occupancy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the certificate of occupancy, that's what everything is hinging on, whether everything's done in a timely manner, because you won't get your money back. Well, that's like that's a huge deterrent from somebody coming in.
We can't resolve these problems that are cited here. The question here is, are the candidates pointing out the fact that here's two problems that I see? It doesn't have to be three. It says two or three.
Right.
State the problem and offer a solution. In 2 minutes, I don't see solutions being offered. I mean, we can't solve the problem of foreclosures here.
Well, I can give you two answers.
It's fine to say, well, how will you stop foreclosures?
Well, here, Ned, and it just, through our process.
I mean, how does the council, people sitting around the table, make a decision that doesn't involve their money? There's a stabilization fund, I know, in Dearborn Heights, which I went to the last meeting, $1.5 million, the stimulus package, federal one, as the city has.
Mm-hmm.
How much? $1.5 million is a lot of money for me and you.
Mm-hmm.
But for a city of, 50,000 people plus, that has a budget that's $40 million, I mean, what hole do you plug? What grass do you cut? What house do you fix? With $1.5 million, not many, not much.
No, not in this area. No, you're right. I mean, it's not like these houses are going for 10 grand each.
No, I don't know. The question is, more important, come up with solutions. In my own case, I could think of some, and I don't want to talk about mine, is offer a solution that's either done on a volunteer basis, or it's relatively inexpensive, or it's a new twist on how to look at something. You know, based on, you know, I'm an architect, and we used to work with a paper called onion skin. You could see through.
Sure.
And I remember we'd draw something, and I always got the most interesting thing was when you turned it around and looked at it upside down, all sorts of new things came to your mind. So the ability to look at a problem differently and not think about it in the way everybody else is thinking about it. Now, half of them could be rejected, but some of them... The idea is don't come up with something that requires me to hire another two employees, pay their salary, their retirement and medical plan. You're talking serious problems. Like, I'm sorry, I didn't pick up on it myself. For example, I didn't use this myself. We have in Dearborn Heights, and I'm sure you do in Dearborn, retired politicians. By retired, I mean people that used to be on the city council,
mm-hmm.
that are getting pensions for this part-time job that paid $6,000, $7,000, $8,000. What? It doesn't do it now, but people that are on the council now that were on, they're grandfathered in, they're building pension plan. They're building up their pensions larger. A few, one or two, are getting health insurance for life. You know how much life insurance costs? I'm not life insurance, mm-hmm. health insurance.
A lot.
You're talking about a plan that's from $12,000 to $15,000. So if I was sitting on the council, I'd say, I think we need to look at this. These people have other jobs. This is a part-time job of which you're doing some sort of community service. In Dearborn, they pay serious money. That job pays $25,000 plus a whole lot of benefits. In Dearborn Heights, it's $8,800.
Well, I think some of those Cadillac benefits are at the root of not only local budget problems, but state budget problems.
Yeah,
I mean, we're cutting the schools instead of, you know, addressing serious sort of reform on where the state's money is going.
What I'm talking about is, yeah, you could. That's what's happening to the GM employees. What do you think's happening to them? They're cutting back on their benefits, their medical stuff. Their dental is gone now. They don't have it. But my point is, we're talking about 50 people, maybe? I'm talking about the part-time politicians. That's all I'm talking about.
Right.
Not the guys that were in the police.
But it's symptomatic of a bigger issue.
And when you go broke, you're going to have to do something. But I'm saying this is we need to look at this. We're only talking about 50 people that have other jobs and other professions.
Right.
For example, in Dearborn Heights, the mayor is a Ford Motor retiree. He gets a Ford Motor pension, plus he reaches the age you get Social Security. And then he'll be getting a city pension as well he deserves. But his city pension, or not only him, the former mayors like Canfield, their pension is based on all the years they were on the council doing the job that paid $5,000 or $6,000 those years. And the factor is 2.5 times the year. So if you're on the council for 20 years, multiply
sure.
that times 2.5. That's how many years?
That's it's 50. A real legacy 50. Cost.
It becomes 50, 60 years. And then if you happen to get a full-time job, you go to work for the city. Let's say you stop that and you go get a job with the city. You become the assistant mayor, which we have that example in Dearborn Heights. Or you become the mayor, which we have that, the mayor. Then they take your highest average 3-year salary, multiply that times the 50, and you're talking about another serious pension. But I'm not even talking about those guys. I'm talking about the people that are getting a pension who are making $4,000 or $5,000 a year for 5 or 6 years, they're going to get a pension for life at a certain point. Even though it's $300 a month, that's a car payment, man.
Yeah. And it adds up, yes.
Sure adds
absolutely.
Up. Now, I could save that and they wouldn't be hurt at all. Meanwhile, the taxpayers in the city are losing their jobs. They can't make their house payments. They can't make their car payments. They're losing their medical coverage. Does that make sense? So you got to attack a thing that's not all that greatly harmful, but it adds up. It's money. That's what I mean about solutions. You offer solutions that not platitudes.
Well, you were involved in the process and all. And there's more to the process than just in 50 words or less. Tell us how you would change the world. You know what I mean? I have to give him credit for having those limitations. I mean, you really are.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I have to tell you, with 50 words or less, any answer I give you, you're going to have another question. It's just going to open it up to another question. Oh, yeah, Dennis? Well, how would you do it then?
Name one problem that you think is a problem and offer a solution.
For me, I'm with them as far as the
shorthand, you could do it.
Well, you could do it with one. And they talk about the foreclosures, and I know, and I see them around me, and I know people that own them, occupy them, bought them, renovated themselves, they did all the did everything the right way, mm-hmm. according to but they're still rental
not
properties.
Not everybody did. I talked to a friend of mine. Of course. Let me tell you what some of them did. Oh, I'd go to my friend and I say, gee, did you sell, what happened with your other house? He says, well, I borrowed money out of it, took all the cash out of it I could. Then that put the house underwater, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I let it go. I let the bank claim it. Then I took the money I took out of it and I went and bought another house.
And if you do it fast enough in Wayne County, the paperwork's so bad they won't even know. I know somebody who bought five houses that way.
The point is, there are things that, you know, you just have to look for. You know, like the $8,000 credit if you bought your house.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, if you were a first-time buyer. Let's say Amy's a first-time buyer. She's going to buy a house. They had people, their children, 4 years old, as you saw in the news lately, being an applicant. Well, the way to solve that problem is very easy. You get a tax credit based on your income. In other words, or percentage of your income. Let's say your income is $30,000. You get a tax credit not to exceed a third of your income. I mean, a third of your income is the limit, not to exceed $8,000. Now, no four-year-old can apply for that, no matter who you are.
Right.
So now you've established your income counts in a thing. Most of our problems are based on people lying about their income. So, okay, well, this is your income. You want to buy a $100,000 house? Fine. You get a $7,000 credit. But that credit is not money. Now they turned around and made it money. They shouldn't have given it money. The first time it was $7,500, and you had to pay it back. Now they made it $8,000, and you don't have to pay it back.
What do you mean you had to pay it back?
Yeah, the credit they gave you the money. If the money, essentially, they gave you a loan, understand it.
That's what it sounds like.
Now they're giving you a grant of $8,000.
Well, grants don't
have
to pay back.
So my point is, in order to avoid, so if you're a person with no income, you obviously don't. A third of zero is zero, but a third of 30, so you're qualified for a $30,000 home because you got a $30,000 income, and then I'll give you a third as a grant. But that's as a tax reduction. So all the tax you have to pay for the next 3 years, I'll discount that 70. So you're not actually giving people money. That's what I would do. I wouldn't be giving people money. I say, no, you get a tax break of that much money.
Because obviously you can good. And I think the mortgage companies have tightened up their regulations. There are less of these 80-20 loans, and there are less of these, you know, people going in to buy a house and pulling out all the money that's in there and walking away. I mean, part of it's an integrity issue. Part of it's a
Amy, you know what happens with your mortgage when you get it? It's not like the old days. This is the problem. In the old days, you went to your local community.
Oh, I know. It's sold and sold and sold.
It's sold and sold. It's part of a derivative someplace that nobody knows who owns it.
But I think
the guy that bought it doesn't know he has it. Where are you going to get?
Yeah. But to qualify for it now, I think the regulations are a little tougher since we've gone through that.
I have a simpler solution if we're going to have it. Here's a guy that has a house. He's going to lose his house. The bank's going to lose the money. The bank only wants to redeem part of the money. Go to him and say, okay, I'm sorry. I'll change your rate from 12 that it's going to go to.
But there's not that common sense. There's the common sense.
Because otherwise they're going to lose it and they're going to lose money all around. Yeah. Keep the guy in his house and let him pay for it for where he can afford. So what? He made a mistake, correct?
Well, city council doesn't have that power. But it'd be nice if they had a little charge influence over, at the banks.
Let's take the next 10 minutes to talk about this great issue in Dearborn Heights. The mayor is being accused of creating a position, and let's read a little bit about what it is, and then you guys can comment on it. The mayor of Dearborn Heights continues to deny allegations made by a former employee who says he was dismissed from his role as director of the city's Community and Economic Development Department because he's an Arab American. By the way, I don't think that's the issue. That's what he...
No, it's part of it. It's definitely part of it.
I mean, the real issue. The real issue is he lost his job. This is just...
Right.
He's just claiming that like it's the issue. The real issue is the mayor has somebody he wants to give the job to, and that's why he... You can't go. The mayor can't go and say, you're an Arab American, so you're losing. I'm giving... It doesn't work that way. You couldn't do that. The allegations included in a complaint filed such Dearborn Court on behalf of the employee, former CE Director Hassan Jamal, that claims the former department head was fired from his position as being a member of a protected class with respect to age, race, and national origin, and so on. Suit seeks more than $75,000 in damages under Civil Rights Act. Now, here's the other part that makes the thing. In other words, he wants to give the job to the wife of a friend of his.
What's her name, Rachel?
I think it's Mona something.
Thomas, Rachel?
Let me read the thing.
Rachel something.
We can't get into it in too much depth in 5 minutes. The controversial administration proposal to create...
Well, Jay's not here. We got all day.
Yeah. Yeah, well, but still, this is not much time to talk about this.
Well, the bottom line is somebody got fired, like you said. He felt it was unjust. But these guys go back a little ways, don't they?
Yeah, they're friends.
The mayor and he appointed the...
He appointed this guy in the first
place. Wasn't the mayor and city council first?
Yeah,
for years. And then he went to mayor, and then he gained the mayor's position. He was elected mayor.
Well, he was a state representative. He got elected as a state representative, and then... the present mayor at the time, Canfield, resigned. That's not the issue in this case.
No.
The issue in this case is that he wants to get rid of Mr. Jamal so that he can replace him with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to do that, he wants a proposed department proposed city department creates a drama. So the headline is, the proposed department was not even discussed by the council members when it came up, and it failed due to a lack of emotion. They're saying the city council had not, wasn't involved in it directly.
The mayor's spokespeople say, hey, this happens all the time. We hire people based on recommendations. And that's what they're claiming this was. It was a recommendation. It wasn't just, I know somebody. The spokespeople from the mayor's office said, if we hired everybody that asked us for a job, we'd have too many people working here. We just wouldn't be able to do it. So and that's their defense. This is normal.
We try to accommodate as many people as possible that just want a job, but, we can't do it for everybody.
We can't do it for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, the point is that they,
way too many
this
people
is
here.
Not just a job. The director, community, this job that he has... requires some expertise. I don't know. Here, let me read this so you can get a better idea.
Okay.
So that those of us that don't read...
Some of the biological background.
Biological, yeah. Definitely not the biological.
No.
The proposed department was not even discussed. We already talked about that.
Okay.
The purpose of the proposal was to establish... This is the mayor talking, department head position... The mayor's executive secretary. He calls it his executive secretary. Okay. Now this has nothing to do. This is another. In other words, this is the way of saying this is not Mr. Jamal's job. This is another job. In other words, when I got the hammer in my head, I'm going to hit you over the head. You're vulnerable on this issue. That's what this is about.
Well put.
Well, I guess I don't know if it was well put.
No, I actually understood.
Based on
that.
You got to remember, I have not read these things in detail. I've just heard about them. Oh, but geez. I know what's going on. You know what I mean?
All right.
So why
it's gracious of you to admit that, Ned.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to read this to you, but the question is...
Word on the street is...
Here we have a little vindiction going on. You know, here, I know this went on. I'm going to report this. You're giving the wife of a friend of yours a job because of what, and that's going, you know. Now the question is, I've heard the mayor talk about this. You know, every mayor has the right to hire his own secretary.
Absolutely.
Because if you go into the pool where the civil service workers are and you say there's a job opening, all the people that are secretaries in the city can apply for the opening. What's being pointed out by these people who are upset about Mr. Jamal's firing is that you didn't go through the process. And then the mayor's point is kind of interesting. Well, I'm mayor today, but maybe I'm not going to be mayor tomorrow. Don't you think that other mayor deserves to bring in the secretary from his job or something, somebody he knows, and it's not a civil service job. The job rides with me. Hmm. So the kernel of the issue is he's claiming that's what he's doing. That's why he didn't bring it through the process.
Right.
We're really brushing over this really quickly.
That's okay.
Looking at the clock, these articles and their counter charges need to be read through thoroughly.
But this is an ongoing thing, which we'll be able to.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is extremely ongoing.
Sure.
The whole point of all of this are the people that are unhappy. They want to embarrass the mayor. They'd like to defeat him if they can in the election 2 weeks from now, even though he's not opposed. There is a write-in candidate that has been, you know, in order to be a write-in candidate, you got to go to the city clerk and say, I'm a write-in. And then there are people putting things on doorknobs, little vote for me as a writing candidate. And then I even saw somebody in my neighborhood with a lawn sign. So the object is let's make the life difficult for him. You see, you should have left my buddy alone on that job.
I want to go over this really quickly. This is really important.
I hope I brought up an important issue.
That's absolutely. Absolutely. You clarified
even
an important
issue. Even though I can't go into it in broad detail.
That's okay. We covered a lot of things in detail. The Dearborn Senior Services presents Senior Health Information Expo 2009. Absolutely free. It's from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Thursday. That was yesterday. So it's not as important as I thought.
I thought you were going to get to the...
I was pretty excited about it, too. Did you see my face? What do you thought I was going to get?
Well,
you're not even a senior. What are you worried
about?
The
flu shots weren't going to be available on the...
today.
Yeah.
That's true. They are not available, actually. Mm. And
it's after the 15th, didn't they?
Well, but today, they were also available today, but that was...
The regular flu
the supplies.
Shots?
Yes.
The regular flu shots.
Yes. That was highlighted in my notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, can I mention one thing? There was a neat little letter to the on the opinion page in the Free Press on last Friday. Lauren Campbell of Dearborn sent in a letter, and it was a good one. It was regarding the banned books.
Oh
week,
yeah, you were telling me
celebrating,
this is awesome.
Yeah, the freedom to read and really our First Amendment rights. And the bottom line was, that it's brought forth so that, it can highlight some of the benefits of free and open access to information and just pick up a book that, has been previously banned. Scour the libraries. It's amazing. Huck Finn was one of the banned books.
Banned books? We got books that are banned in the good old USA?
Oh, sure. Every day. And
librarians do it on their own. Is that what?
Well, it's your job to seek them out and make a go of it and exercise your First Amendment rights. There's so many. You can go online and just look at banned books, but they're classics. 1984, Brave New World. So Catch 22, Catcher in the Rye.
Banned?
These were all.
You can go watch
sure,
the
at
movie.
Some point,
You're
it's kidding. At some point in time, these were banned, or they could still be banned in high schools around the country because they're too, maybe too graphic. They feel for
Catch 22 was like a corruption thing. You know what? Did you see the movie?
And read the book.
Oh,
loved it.
Is it the same?
I would say that was a movie that did well. coming from a book. So, you know, I was impressed and had that same overwhelming feel of Catch-22. How am I going to, you know?
The only thing bad about that book, one of the protagonists was Armenian in it. He was the sharp guy that was ending up having the American bombers bomb the... Oh, they were all making money on the deal, you know. They had to make the guy Armenian? Jesus.
You guys, thank you so much. I know Jay wasn't here. We were all like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do without our fearless leader? I think we did okay. We survived. We survived the hour. Hopefully our listeners did.
You led us well, Dennis.
Well, now that is funny.
Now the important thing is what Jay thinks. Yeah. He's listening to this down in Texas.
Does he think he is?
Absolutely.
Do they have internet in Texas?
They got internet everywhere.
Okay.
Remember, if you want to listen to this, WHFR.
Oh, you're ruining everything.
.fm.
Ned and Amy, and I'm Dennis. To listen to any of our previous shows, go to WHFR.fm. Click on the journal button and pick a date, including today. Each week after 2 p.m. Friday, a new MP3 file is there for the whole show. You can fast forward just to the parts you want to hear.
Promoting my show? Oh, my God.
You know what?
You didn't think of that. Well, let's do it right now.
Please.
Then and now, now will be the fourth Tuesday of every month from 1 to 2. But if you're looking for the podcasting, you got to look for the fourth Saturday from August and beyond. In other words, in September, we changed over. So look for me on the homepage and click the forum button, and then there's no way to know the show names. All you have to do is the show dates.
Okay.
Hopefully the new system, Lynn, has fixed that, right? Our names will be on there. Good.
Well,
you can put my picture on too if they want. I don't care.
It's a good looking website.
I'm Dennis. We're going to get out of here.
Okay.
WHFR Dearborn, this is WHFR.fm, the station making waves. Have a wonderful week and be good to each other.